Tonight we're turning to 2 Kings chapter 5, please. 2 Kings chapter 5. And we're looking at a story that we've heard in Sunday school, a story we've heard at our parents' knees. We're looking at this great general called Naaman. And I always remember in Sunday school they used to say, Naaman the leper. And we're looking at the life of this man tonight very briefly. We're starting to read at verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 5 and at the verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I a God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go, wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God and all his company, and came and stood before him, and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Neither, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And we know the Lord will bless this reading from his own infallible word. We read in verse 1 of 2 Kings, Naaman was a great man in a great place, not only rich, a mighty man of valor, honorable, and a favorite to his prince, but the Bible tells us that he was a leper. In the Bible, leprosy is a universal picture of sin. No man's greatness, no man's honor or interest or valor or victory can set him out of the reach of the sorest calamities of the human life. Naaman was as great as the world could make him. And yet, Bishop Hall in his book says that the lowest slave in Syria would not change skins with him because of his leprosy. You know, in this part of God's word, we see a little maid. And the Bible tells us that this little maid was taken away from her family. And I'm sure this little maid might have been going out to get water for her family, or maybe going to do a message from her family. And this great Syrian army came into her country, and she was taken away captive from her country. She heard, the Bible tells us that she was a little maid to this man Naaman's wife. And she heard about this man's leprosy. She heard about this awful leprosy that he had. Wouldn't you think she would have had resentment against him? Wouldn't you think she would have said, it serves him right that he has this leprosy? He took me away from my parents. He took me away from the place I loved. He took me away from all the things that I, in my own country and my friends. It serves him right that he has this awful thing called leprosy. But you know, this little maid showed that she was a child of God. She had a desire to see this man's body healed physically. But she also knew that the God's prophet could heal him spiritually. She is one of God's precious little nobodies who has a great reward waiting for her in heaven. We're not told her name, but she was willing to witness to the man that done such evil against her. You know, that shows me, friends, tonight, that God uses the little nobodies to do his work. Oh, you may be working for the Lord. You may be witnessing for the Lord. And you think nobody sees it. But my friend, the God of heaven sees the witness that you do. And you know, at the end of the day, you'll hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I can hear when that little maid made heaven, I can hear the Saviour saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant, to that little maid. But you know, tonight we want to look at this man, Naaman. And first of all, I want you to see his miserable condition. I want you to see his miserable condition. We're told in verse 1, his position in Syria, he was a captain of the host. Some of the commentators would say that he was a prime minister. He held that position as a prime minister. Verse 1 also tells us he was a personal friend of the king. He didn't need to make an audience. He didn't need to say, could you make an audience with the king? He was a personal friend of the king, and he could have went in at any time to see the king. Verse 1 also tells us he was an honourable man. This man was well respected in Syria. And I'm sure if you were a business owner in Syria and you were doing business with this man, you would say he is an honourable man. He paid up his bills. He paid all what he needed. The Bible tells us that he was an honourable man. But you know, the Bible also in verse 1 tells us he was a man of valour. There was no braver man in Syria. And I'm sure as he would ride about in his chariots, the little boys in Syria would say, one day I want to be like this man Naaman. I want to be like this man Naaman. But you say, hold on a wee minute, Tommy. You told us that you're going to speak about his miserable condition. Yes, I am. But how is he in a miserable condition when he is a captain of the host, a prime minister in Syria? How is he in a miserable condition when he's a personal friend of the king? How is he in a miserable condition when he's an honourable man? Everyone in Syria said he was such an honourable man. How is he such a miserable condition when you say that the wee boys in the street looked on this great general, this man of valour? But friend, read on in verse 1. After the Lord tells us all about this, he then says he was a leper. He was a leper. Leprosy is the universal thing of sin. You know, Naaman's leprosy had no respecter of person and title. And I'm sure he tried to cover it up with the best of clothing. But at the end of the day, he still had it there. It is the same today with sin. Men and women try to cover up their sin. They try to cover up the sin nature. They attend church. They attend Sunday school. They try and do their best. But you know, sin is still there. There's a little book I lifted the other day. And it told about this Indian prince. And this Indian prince had this terrible mark right on his forehead. And he said to his wife, "I'm not going out again. Because if I go out again, people would laugh at me. And people would see this awful mark." And his wife said, "Why not put that beautiful diamond that's sitting on your desk? Why not get that stuck on your head? Because other Indian princes would have these sort of things on their head." And that man done that. As he walked down the street, the people would say, "Look at that beautiful diamond." As he walked down the street, they would say, "Look at that beautiful diamond shining." But you know, friend, behind that diamond was that terrible mark. And you know, that's like people today. People would come in the church, and there's many people you would think are believers, are Christians. But you know, they are not saved at all. But you know, there was something about this man. The little maid told his wife that there was a man who could help him. And his wife told Naaman what the little girl said. Now, wouldn't you think that general would have said, "She's only a wee girl. What would she know? I'm not going away up to see someone to help me. I'm not going up there at the whim of a little girl, a little maid." But you know, there was something that the general had seen the life of this little maid. And he took the word from the little maid. The word went to him that he could be healed. And my friend, if you're in this meeting without Christ tonight, I have a good news for you. The word is that you can be healed from your sin. And the only way that you can be healed from your sin is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, this man was in a miserable condition. He had that awful disease of leprosy, but he also had that awful disease of sin. We're not told where he had leprosy, but I'm sure it was in some part of his body that he could cover up. But you know, there's one thing about him. He realized he needed help. He realized he needed help. He realized he couldn't heal himself. And you know, sadly tonight, across our town and across our cities, in gospel meetings like this, there are men and women, and they don't realize that they need help. They don't realize that they need help to get rid of that awful sin in their life. You know, the Bible tells me that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Praise God, this man realized he was in a miserable condition. But sadly, as I look across this country, as I go around preaching in our churches and mission halls, people don't realize the miserable condition that they're in. They don't realize, they think they can work their way to heaven. They think that coming to church can save them. They don't realize that salvation is through the Lord. Oh, friend, tonight he was in a miserable condition, but praise God, he realized he was in a miserable condition. Maybe tonight it's just dawned on you that you're in a miserable condition. You haven't had the sin question dealt with. You're coming into another year still in your sin. You're coming into another year. If death was to come, you'd be lost. We talked about the great white throne judgment this morning. That great white throne judgment is for men and women, boys and girls who rejected God's way of salvation. They thought that they could get to heaven in their own way. They thought that they could deal with their own sin and their goodness. But you know, my friend, the Bible says, it's by grace are ye saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. You need to come and get this dealt with. Praise God, Naaman listened to this little girl's warning. Oh, friend, tonight, listen to the warning from the Holy Spirit tonight. If he's speaking to you and showing you that you're a sinner, that you need the Savior, oh, I pray that you'll come and trust him. But I want you to notice his mistaken conceptions. His mistaken conceptions. First of all, in verse 6, he went to the wrong person. He went to the king of Israel. The king of Israel couldn't help him. He was told to go to God's servant. He was told to go to Elisha. But he went to the king of Israel. You know, there are thousands of people across our land tonight, and they're going to the wrong person for salvation. They think they can get salvation through works. They think they can get salvation through paying into the church. They think they can get salvation because their mother, their brother, their sister, husband, and wife are saved. But you know, this man, Naaman, went to the wrong person. He went to the king. You know, secondly, it was the wrong price. It was the wrong price. Though he thought that he could bring all these gifts. The Bible tells us here in Jobin, he brought money, silver, and he thought he could pay his way in to get this awful disease taken off him. But you know, that old verse again comes to mind. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Thirdly, we see the wrong procedure. In verse 11, we can see Naaman's pride. Notice, he came up to Elisha's door. And he thought that Elisha would come out and touch him and heal him. But Elisha just sent out his servant to tell him what to do. And you know, his rage came up. And he says, why is this man Elisha not coming out to me? Does he not realize who I am? I'm a great general. He should come out. He had the wrong procedure. You know, sinful men and women have the wrong procedure. I'm sure tonight, if we went into Six Mile Cross and we told someone, if you carry a bag of cold Eoma, you'll be saved, someone would try it. They don't want to come God's way. They want to come their own way. Sinner, people get angry when they're told that they're a sinner. I told you this morning how I became angry when my Sunday school teacher told me that I was a sinner. Oh, friend, it was the wrong procedure. But I want you to notice it was also the wrong place. God's servant said to him, you need to go into the River Jordan and dip in the River Jordan 7 times. And again, Naaman went into a rage. And he said, I'm not going into this old dirty Jordan. Look at it. Look at the dirt on it. I'm not going into the River Jordan. Is not the River Abana and Pharpar better rivers than this? I'm not going into it. Naaman talked himself into a rage. He was ready to swear he would never have anything again to do with Elisha. You know, he was fortunate that he had good servants. And his servants came to him and they said, sir, if the man of God asked you to do something else, would you not have done it? Would you not have done it? And he thought about it. But you know, there's something about this man. He had so many servants. He had so many servants. And I'm sure if he had asked one of those servants, will you go into the river for me? They would have done it gladly. But you know, he still would have had that awful leprosy. He would have still had that. He needed to go personally into that river to be healed. And you know, my friend, tonight, sinners need to come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ personally. You say to me, Tommy, how can I come to God personally? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us. The world would say to us, we need to go to a great theologian to find that answer. The world would tell us we need to go to some great theological college to find that answer. But my friend, the word of God tells us, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You need to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he was trying to talk his way out. The thing was, he didn't want to come God's way. It was God's way for him to be healed, to go into that river. But he didn't want to come God's way. And sadly tonight, across our land, men and women don't want to come God's way. God says, if you want to come to me, come to Christ. I lived at a little track. Story about this in the Civil War. This Civil War soldier got word from his wife that she was dying. And he wanted to get home to see his wife. She wanted him home. He went up to the great general's office. And he asked the staff there, can I see the general? And they said, no, you can't. He's in discussion. We're going to the battle in the morning. And he can't see you. And the soldier said, look, my wife's dying. She wants me home. They said, there's no chance of you getting home. The soldier went out, heartbroken. He was standing. After an hour or so, he went back in again. And he said, please, please let me see the general. And they said, there's no chance of you seeing the general. And there's no chance of you getting home. He was standing, heartbroken. And all of a sudden, a little curly boy, haired boy, came up to him. And he said, he was crying at this time. And the little boy said to him, sir, what's wrong? And the soldier looked and he said, son, you wouldn't understand. And the little curly haired boy said, sir, one day I'll be a big soldier and I will understand. So the soldier told him the story. He said, my wife's dying away down south in America. And I'm trying to get in to see the general, to get home to see my wife. But they won't let me in to see the general. There's no way to see the general. The wee boy looked up and he smiled. And the soldier said, son, what are you smiling about? He says, I'll get you in to see the general. And the soldier said, you'll get me in to see the general? He says, yes, I'll get you in to see the general. He said, general, the general is my father. The general is my father. And the little boy, God, generals, and that little gospel tract says, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he says to you, the sinner, I'll get you in. I'll get you in to see the King. I'll get you in to see the Father. But you must come through me. My friend, if you want to get to heaven, if you want to be in heaven in the presence of God, you must come through the Son. And you know, God is a holy God. He can't look on sin. He can't tolerate sin. He can't look on sin. This man was in a miserable condition. He had mistaken conceptions. He thought he could get his own way to heaven. But you know, finally tonight, we want to look at his marvelous conversion. His marvelous conversion. In verse 10, we have the message from God's servant. Go wash 7 times in the Jordan. 7 in scripture is perfection. If he had not yielded to the God's word sent out by God's servant and went home, he still would have leprosy and would likely have had gone, got worse, and would have led to death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And you know, my friend, tonight there's only one antidote for the wages of sin, and it's the precious blood of Christ. You know, if your life, and I knew an antidote for it, and I said to you, I know a person who could help you. You wouldn't send someone else. You'd go immediately to get that help. But friend, you have something in your life tonight, and it's sin. And the wages of sin is death. But you know there's an antidote for it. We talked about it this morning. The precious blood of the Lamb. And what happened? Naaman went into the river. Now let me tell you, there was nothing to do with the water. It was God's way of healing him. There was nothing miraculous about the River Jordan. I'm surprised that some of these people haven't set something up around the River Jordan and said, look what happened to Naaman. It was God's way. It was God's way for him to be healed. And God's way for you to be healed from your sin is through the precious shed blood that was shed on Calvary. And you must realize that you're a sinner without Christ. You need to come and trust the Savior. What happened? He went into the river. He dipped down once. Still the same. He dipped down twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times. And what does the Bible say? When he came up again, his flesh was like a little child. He was healed because he came God's way. My friend, salvation is very plain. Believe and be saved. Repent and be pardoned. Wash and be clean. Will you believe and be saved? Will you repent and pardon? Will you wash and be clean? There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I do believe, I will believe, that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. I knew that man came back to Elisha. And what did he say? Now I know that there's only one God, and it is the God of Elisha. And my friend, there is only one God for you, and it is God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you tonight about your soul salvation. Oh, this man went personally into the river. And you know, tonight you must come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because can I warn you tonight, if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, someday he will be your personal judge. And someday it will be a personal sentence at that great white throne. Depart from me, I never knew you. And it will be a personal hell forever. Oh, this man, he was in a ministerial, he was in a miserable condition. He had mistaken conceptions, but praise God, at the end of the day, he had a wonderful and marvelous conversion. Why? Because he came God's way. You know, there was a man, and the Bible tells us, a man called Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of Sanhedrin. He knew all that there was about the Jewish religion. But he knew there was something missing in his life. He realized that the Jewish religion couldn't save him. And my friend, today and tonight, all the Protestant religion cannot save you. Any religion cannot save you. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary. And the Lord knew immediately about Nicodemus. And he said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, accept a man, be born again. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Of course, Nicodemus thought he would be smart. And he said, how can I enter into my mother's womb the second time? The Lord Jesus Christ said to him, Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. And you know, praise God, we read later on in the scriptures that Nicodemus was a disciple of the Lord because he was one of the ones that took the body of Christ down and put it into the tomb. My friend, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful Savior and a wonderful friend. There was a preacher traveling in an aeroplane one time, and he was sitting, and this businessman was sitting beside him. And the businessman said, "Sir, I see you're reading a book. What business are you in?" The preacher said, "I'm a preacher. I'm on my way to America to have a gospel campaign." "Oh, what's that?" He says, "Well, I come to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation." The man said, "I was never in a church before." He says, "What's the book you're reading?" The preacher said, "It's the Bible." "Oh, I've never seen a Bible before. Sir, can I read your Bible?" The preacher turned to that great chapter in Revelation about the great white throne. And the man read down about that great white throne. And he said to the preacher, "Will that happen?" And the preacher said, "It certainly will." And he said, "Who are these people? It says the great, the small, the kings, and all of this white, great white throne. Who are they?" And the preacher was able to show him that they were men and women, and all who rejected God's way of salvation. And the man said to him, "Can that happen to me?" And he said, "If you don't accept Christ as your Savior, it'll happen to you." He said, "Can I escape this great white throne?" And the preacher turned to the scriptures. And he turned to that verse, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the preacher said, "Put your name in there." And the man put his name in. The preacher had the great joy of leading that man to the Savior on a flight over America. The man said, "I'd love to have a Bible." The preacher said, "Take my Bible. I'll get a Bible when I get home." Many months later, the preacher got back to his own house, and his wife said to him, "Dear, there's many letters there for you." And he opened this letter, and it was a letter from the man who had led to the Lord. And he said, "Preacher, I want to thank you. On that plane on over America, you showed me that I needed to be saved." And he said, "I want to tell you something. Not only will I not be at the great white throne judgment, my wife will not be at it. My children will not be at it." He says, "Because I used the Bible that you gave me to show them that they needed to be saved." My friend, is there an escape for you tonight? Yes, there is. You can come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. I thank God many years ago, just as a sinner, I said, "Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me in your precious blood, and I shall be whiter than snow." This man, Naaman, yes, he got healed physically, but praise God, he got healed spiritually. Child of God, there's a little lesson for you and me. You know, just a little witness to our loved ones, to our friends. We can see them one. That little maid, she just said that where this man could go and get healed, and she was able to see that man one for the Lord. I pray the Lord will bless this word to all our hearts tonight, and it'll speak to our hearts.